Blog Talk Radio.
Things. Let's get the dateline in. Today is October 26, 2017. Today we're going to have with us Mitzi Parrish. We'll get to her in a minute. First, I want to let you know what's going on at Groomer Talk and PetGroomer.com. We have a lot of things to give away, and we're actively giving away 8 gallons of shampoo or conditioner from Groomer's Choice. You can choose from Bark to Basics, Green Groom, and Coat Handler. The first place winner gets 1 case, and the second and third place winners get 2 gallons each. Again, you can mix and match. Our thanks to Groomer Choice Best Pet Products for making that available. What else do we have coming up around the first week of November? We will open up Santa's cash. How much money cash does Santa have in his bag? If you guess that amount correctly, you're going to win that amount. You can guess once a day at the message board until we get a winner. We'll have more details on that the first week of November on how to play that. Very simple. You're just going to be guessing that amount down to the penny. Apparently he has coin in that bag as well. What else? We have the 7th annual Metro contest. We're giving away a Metro Master Blaster. That's a high velocity dryer, a very powerful one. As I said, 7 years already now. We've been doing that every year. How the gameplay is going to go, I don't know exactly, but everything will be done over at Groomer Talk Community Board there. Just check in. It'll have all the details. Or go to the homepage. You can always go to the homepage of PetGroomer.com to find out everything that's going on or to get you to the right place in our world online. Now let's get to Mitzi Parrish. Mitzi, yes, I just checked. She's phoned in to us. Mitzi's pet styling career began at an early age, working as a bather and brusher for her mentor and mother, Jacqueline Rauch. Mitzi attributes her styling skills and success in the grooming education field to the high expectations Jacqueline had for herself and everyone who worked for her. Mitzi says, "She molded my belief that education is a lifelong pursuit, to which I study pet styling trends worldwide and attend industry trade shows to keep abreast of new techniques, styles, to assure Golden Paws curricula stays fresh and current." Mitzi became the first of her family to get a Master Groomer certification through the NDGAA, that's the National Dog Groomers Association. Mitzi graduated with a degree in communications from the University of Alabama. As well as an accomplished stylist and instructor, Mitzi holds various federally registered patents, copyrights, and trademarks. She works with state education boards in the trade school licensing sector, developing instructor and curricula requirements for Golden Paws Styling Schools and the Golden Paws Distance Learning Program. We're going to talk with her today, and she'll give you some contact info so you can see. So whether you're a career seeker or already a groomer, there is something Golden Paws can do for you. Let me bring Mitzi in here. Hello, Mitzi, are you there?
Yes, hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Good talk to you. Tell us, when with the hurricane was down in Texas, were you affected by that?
No, we didn't get any water. We weren't flooded, but I think everybody knew somebody who got water. Places that had never flooded. I've never seen so much water where it shouldn't be in my life. It was
Yeah,
really
I bet.
something.
Well, that's good to hear you weren't affected. I know we've the Groomers Emergency Alert Fund was helping out. We were posting a lot of info to groomers down there that are affected, that help was available, and hopefully they're getting that help. So let's get started here. Looking back over the years you've spent in grooming, where do you feel the industry is now?
I think it's come a long ways. I really do. I have the opportunity through my work to talk to people nationwide and in different countries, whether they're beginners or whether they're established groomers and been in the industry for years through our schools and through our education programs and through the licensing programs of the schools. And I'm very encouraged because I see a lot of new groomers coming into the industry that really care, and I see groomers that have been in the industry who are seeking further education. I think there's a big movement towards broadening their horizons and their skills and their professional levels. I do think we still have a long ways to go as far as the image as a whole of pet groomers. I think pet grooming is just now really becoming, something on the forefront as a viable career option that we've always known how good it is. But I think there's a ways to go still.
I agree,
But it's
and you're out there
positive.
helping. Yes.
We hope,
So
yes,
what do you,
we do our
go
best.
ahead. Yes, you do. I
Yes,
know you're doing your best, and you've made some amazing accomplishments. You have quite a few schools with under the Golden Paws name now, and I hear great things. So thank you for doing that for the industry. It's great.
it's something that is really near and dear to my heart. I just, out of all the things I've done in my grooming career, the grooming education is the one thing I am definitely most passionate about. I love grooming. But yes, I just am so lucky to be able to do something that I have such a passion for.
Well, what do you feel is the single most effective training element in a grooming school?
Yeah, I get a lot of people, who call me. And they people looking for to go to school, and they always say, I always there's most of them say I learn best by watching somebody and having them show me and then doing it. But I don't they I've never seen anybody learn well that way, because grooming is really a complicated subject with a lot of specialized areas that you have to be very good in. You're dealing with a family member. You're dealing with so many, you have, as a stylist, you have to wear so many different hats and be good at every one of them. The best way that people learn, and I've seen this proven over and over and over, is to have program materials that they read the information and internalize, and then they have someone guide them through the steps as they apply those steps. But a person cannot, there's no way, there's no person out there that can mentally break down the grooming processes for a student in words that make sense to them, that they can remember, that will guide them throughout their careers so that they can build on that. Because, there's hundreds of breed designs. There's all of these things to know in grooming. There's all the safety, there's all the tools, there's all of these things. So none of us, no matter how long we've been in the business, are able to do that mentally on, you know, on our feet. And with something that's written down, you can take the time to, someone has the time to break it down in a written format with pictures, illustrations, something that the students can see, read, and internalize. I think learning process works the best if you have all of your learning faculties involved, and that's, you know, reading, seeing, doing. And I think that's the most important element, actually, are program materials, actual structure and lesson plans and the, you know, things that students can touch and look at, and a lesson plan that is progressive, that progresses them on a daily basis. So, yes, I think it's the school's curricula, the school's materials that are there for the students. I think that's the single most effective training element.
Okay, well, now you've mentioned the learning materials, but is there some less tangible asset potential students should look for in finding their grooming school they're going to attend?
Yes, I do. I do. I think the less something that's not tangible, that's that I think that they can tell, is a when they go to talk to the school, their passion. I think their passion will show. I think their dedication to teaching will show. I think if they've got, you know, a dedicated instructor that's just there for the students only, not to groom but to teach, that, you know, this is the instructor's job. There's my baby. And I think it shows if a school, you know, they will be able to tell someone's interest in them and their interest in teaching them.
I agree.
By the
you know
way,
that
where they dedicate their where the school kind of puts their money, you know, where they're spending money for that instructor to be there just for those students. So they
exactly.
You know, that's yeah.
I know there's some schools more so in the past. We don't, or at least we don't hear about them a lot anymore, but there were some that was very much that treated them like more like not having that kind of dedicated instructor there. They felt more like they were a bit of a employee without a lot of one-on-one training or supervision and whatever, and that gave some schools and some students, they were kind of surprised they were treated that way and all. Yeah, and so that you're right, that's a very important point.
Yeah, and, you know, and that stands to make sense, because if the school's heart or their money is grooming the dogs on a daily basis, there will not be any time for the students. They will just have to fit in there and learn what they can do, because a salon cannot take time out of their day if their bread and butter is grooming, or that's where their heart is grooming. They have to get those dogs done that day. So there just isn't any time to, you know, to dedicate a staff member to them if that's not what they've got set up, if that's not what they're going for. And then the student, yeah, they won't learn. They might learn bathing. They might learn prepping, but they're not going to have, they won't get into styling. And that's the most important part. It's
exactly.
All important, but the styling, that's where they should be spending most of their time.
Right. So, you know, we're hearing still, as forever, we hear about vocational licensing of groomers. It's always been a hot-button issue, and stylists are either vehemently for it or against it. A few are neutral, not anticipating it, but it's still one of the hot-button issues that's out there. And so, yeah, you just even be bringing it up, and you might alienate some over here and in for some over there. So where's your stand these days on vocational licensing?
Yes, I know what you mean. I notice this when I'm around a lot of groomers, like at trade shows, and you just hear, you know, very strong arguments about, you know, licensing if that subject comes up. But I stand for it. I stand for it, but only with a viable bill that focuses on the groomer's skill and knowledge, so like cosmetology. I think that it should just be about their skill and knowledge, not like some of these bills that have come up and, you know, groomers have banded together to get that bill shot down, and rightfully so, because it's more about the temperature of the salon, or, you know, it's just about various outside things, nothing about their grooming skill or their grooming responsibilities or their grooming knowledge.
Go ahead, Mitzi, and elaborate.
Oh,
that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever taken the time to look at a cosmetology licensing thing, and it kind of makes sense. It's very it makes perfect sense if we could just kind of go with that blueprint, because it's all about testing them for their skill, and then testing them on the knowledge. So then what we would create with, say, a board, like they have to go through, the cosmetologists, to get their licensing, I think what we would create with that would be common standards. We'd have a common language. You know, it would just bind us together, and we would all have common skills, a common language to share, and we'd have a stronger profession. The other thing is we'd have stronger grooming schools, because we would have a common curricula with common standards that the school has to attain, because their students will have to go before a board, and so they're basically going to get qualified for what they taught them. And I think that the public and these new students coming in, they won't be kind of guessing or hit and miss, because right now grooming schools can be hugely different in what they teach, how they teach. And it would just make groomers stronger, and it would make new groomers stronger. It would make the school stronger. What you would be left with would be a stronger profession.
Yes, I agree. And that would be so much easier for schools, because you would have, and you would bring in groomers to do this, but you would come in with agreement on everyone's curricula. Look, we must cover these things because we've all agreed on these are what beginning students must learn. So every curricula is going to have that in common. Whereas today, there's no rhyme or reason that anyone, you can go to one school and then same state, learn entirely different. You don't, it's actually protection for the students in a way that they know they're going to learn these basics that we as an industry decide what those basics are. So it's actually better for the students that are coming in that we do have that. But I think
it's even better for the schools. You know, there's a lot of schools. How do they know what to do? I mean, really, what are they going to – there isn't any, like, per se, you know, books that they can go get from the store, you know, order these books. I'm a school, like cosmetologists, they've got a standard list of materials and, you know, practice materials, lesson plans that they order, that, you know, they're covered. They know they're teaching the students what is required. But the grooming schools, the way it stands now, there isn't anything. I mean, Golden Paws has developed an internal program. We have a very, our books, our DVDs, our lesson plans, our exercises, all work together to walk the student through each step to develop each foundational skill, you know, and through the fine finish technique, so they can groom any breed or any breed design or client request and encompass all the safety and stuff. But that's, you know, that's taking quite a few years of dedication to break down every single. We spent 3 days one time taking the picture, thousands and thousands of pictures of each, you know, if you put the pictures to, you know, like a flip book, it's like someone actually grooming a dog throughout the whole process, prepping, bathing, and styling, all of it, for four dogs, and we took that. It was quite a process, but, you know, I guess my point is it would just be easier for the schools because we as a, you know, the community of groomers, we would, you know, elect our board members. It wouldn't be a board under VEP like the bills that have come up. You know, it would be a board under respected members of the grooming community. And, yes, I think, you know, a vet and another professional, outside professional, that make up, you know, common boards. But I just see that as nothing but good for the industry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on on a little bit different subject here. And just, you know, I've heard you're celebrating 50 years in the grooming education field. And is that right?
Well, yes. I think almost. We're almost. I think I got a little, you know, I was a little excited and I made up a little 50-year celebration thing. Yeah, we're a few years shy, but yes, we're really about there. And I think, you know, my mom and my sister and I are very proud of that. You know, there's not very many businesses, not just in grooming, but not very many businesses ever witnessed that. They never get to see that milestone.
That's true. I know it was, I'm approaching 60 years in the field in a few years. Oh, yeah. I'm getting up there,
wow.
Too. It's kind of neat to see how far we've come because, boy, if you weren't back then, you just don't know that we just how much different it is today and how far we still have come when compared to in the education and the shows today and all. It just wasn't like that before. I mean, it was a big deal when I was a kid that being a salon that could advertise you had air conditioning. I mean, air conditioning wasn't always around and all. We've come a long way. It's pretty funny when I go back and think about it.
Yeah, I bet we had the same experiences because I'm right there with you. You know, I'm coming up on 60 years, and you know, my biggest thing I think is the dryers. Oh my gosh, the stand dryers that you had to turn the nozzle, and it was the heat dryer, and you had to brush. You know, brush. Every single hair, brush forever. I mean,
yep.
You know, a big coated dog would just take you about an hour at least. It was so long. It was so hard, such hard work.
It was. It was far more physical and it took a lot more time. Grooms were still beautiful. You know, you had good groomers or great groomers then. That's all the same. But it was more work to be that way back in those days. Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't know if you were old enough to have been around that long in grooming either. So that's pretty neat. Oh, let's ask now. Let's go back since you really work with a lot with career seekers and helping the schools. And some people may not know that you're actually a consultant. If someone wants to open a school, they can contact or they can take an existing business and turn to a school and all, but let's look at the career seekers now. What do you say to those that are on the fence about a career in grooming today? Mitzi? I think we, did we lose you, Mitzi? We may have lost her. Let's give her a minute. Maybe she might. She didn't drop off. Hold on. Let's give her a minute. She did. Yeah, it dropped. Mitzi, are you back? Mitzi? Yeah, I don't know.
Hello?
Seth, it's just the. Yeah, you're back. I'll just start the question again. I don't know. It somehow, that was just Blog Talk Radio had a blip of some sort. My question was,
okay.
What do you say to those that are on the fence about a career in grooming?
Well, I would really ask them, they need to spend, you know, go somewhere and spend a day around grooming. The problem is that there's a lot of misinformation out there about the career. Even amongst groomers, I've noticed that comments are made sometimes without people thinking things through, I guess. I know for us, I see comments on negative reactions about the length of our program because the length of our program isn't, you know, so many, I guess, not long enough for them, but they're not in the grooming education. They don't see what we see. And I don't think time is the qualifying factor that makes a good program. But everybody has a right to their opinion. It's just that I wish people would kind of try to find out a little bit more about something before they dismiss it. But there's a lot of misinformation about about the industry. And I do recommend that they call around and try to get as much information as they can from various people in the industry. And anybody that's in the industry that would be glad to share their experiences with somebody that's looking to get into it, because I think everybody that loves this industry always makes time for people looking to get in, and will share their experiences and, you know, to help them. And so with the misinformation out there, that's what I would recommend, that they go to various sources and gather the information and then hopefully, you know, spend a day somewhere getting the real feel of it.
I agree. And with a lot of the support materials that you have, whereas some schools may hardly have any support materials. They might just recommend a book or out there, but you've done a lot of documentation to help to provide that additional educational support with them. So that should, I agree. You can't just judge solely on the hours anymore. And many school owners, we list a lot of them over the years. I've known school owners for years. And a lot of them are finding that the market is requiring them to be roughly in the amount of hours that you provide, or it isn't real viable today. So then on the other hand, I look back and say, well, then I know you give a substantial amount of materials there that would make up for that as well. So I agree. People need to check things out before they judge it. It's a very unique objective to train grooming. So, you know, have a more open mind about that. I see.
The students' time in the class, I think, you know, some people will find it hard if they do go to school, you know, go to the public school, because there's no time is wasted. You know, it's just every minute of every day is centered on learning. And I would, you know, I kind of assume that when people come to school, that's what they're wanting. But I think some people some students in the past haven't been prepared for the actual learning process that you go through in our school. Because we don't feel like we need to waste anybody's time. And it's, you know, we teach, we're there, we're supportive, but, you know, we're in here and we want to teach you, and, you know, you just need to take it and go. But some people, they just think, oh, I'm at school, you know, and I can talk and I can do this. But I guess my point is that it depends on what makes up their day. You know, if they just are doing whatever they kind of want to, then, yeah, they probably need to be in there for 4 to 6 months. But, I know for a fact that it works if it's done on a progressive basis, you know, a foundational basis where they learn the skill and they, you know, they just build and build on it. So everything that they learn well, and then they build on that and build on that. But then, of course, not every school is going to teach every single person to be a great groomer. They're just not. So, you know, because you can't teach somebody who doesn't want to learn. And so, you know, not every school is just going to hit 100%.
I found that to be true in another aspect. There are schools that offer the financing, and I've talked with some of the owners, and that is a great feature. I'm all for that. But what they also found, it turned out to be a bit of a bother for them, in that they got a lot of people, students, that came in, and they're just, you know, not as serious about learning as much necessarily, because it's like, well, I thought I'd try this out because I can always get the financing for this and all. It was kind of a surprise to them of how many that wouldn't commit. They just weren't always as motivated to learn because it was financed. Interesting side effect of financing. It's something has been brought up to me several times by those offering it.
I think that, you know, kind of the same thing is sometimes I see that a lot with, unfortunately, when someone else pays for the students' tuition, education. I always think that, you know, there's, because it always kind of bears out more often than not, they're just not, you know, they're just not as much into it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good point. That same kind of scenario. Interesting. Mitzi, we know that you have, as we stated at the beginning of the show, some federal copyrights, trademarks, and patents and all, and they're related to grooming. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yes, I can. And we like that. I do. I like that part. My degree's in communication. I've always been real interested in marketing and marketing materials and what makes effective marketing. And so we've got two federally trademarks registered with the federal government. We've got three working trademarks, and we have over 40 federal registered copyrights. And then the patent that I had, it was in a non-related field. It was business application. But yeah, you know, getting those milestones, getting those, your first one or your, I don't care if it's your first or 100th, you know, getting that nice little piece of paper with federal government, you know, it's all registered, and that's a pretty neat part. But we have to do that because, you know, for one thing, we license the school program, the Golden Paw School program, and we want to protect our licensees and our intellectual property, and you know, that's how we do that.
Yep, of course, in the early days when my parents were in grooming, the Yellow Pages was the primary thing. This is pre-internet, and it was pretty interesting that when we would travel, we would always check the Yellow Pages. One of the first things we do when we went into like a hotel motel room was check the Yellow Pages, and how often my mother's trademark, her logo, was stolen. She had this fluffy puppy that was federal protection on it. And we probably over the years had to put out 300 cease and desist letters to groomers around the nation to stop. They just had photocopied it out of and spread this, an exact copy. It's not, wasn't like, let's try to replicate this by hand. No, it was just like a photocopy they made and stole it. So it is an important part. And groomers listening to the show that are business owners, this is something they should do like you have done, is to get the protection you need for your marks. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, your mother was way ahead of her time, because that's impressive. You know, that's very impressive, because like you said, there's very few of us groomers that do have any federally protected name or anything. Even, I mean, now, but back then, your mother was probably the only one. That's very impressive. And yes, I know exactly about the cease and desist letters, because it's like all of a sudden, and this has been going on for now for a couple of years, but I've been having to send out, you know, cease and desist letters, because people just, it's like Golden Paws became this name everybody wanted to use. I go on Facebook, you know, there's a Golden Paws, who was, what? And
yeah.
I think it's, you know, tedious. You have to protect it. You have to send out the letters, and usually it works out pretty well, and you just go on. But
yeah,
I find that interesting.
Yeah.
The old cease and desist letter.
Why don't we tell our audience about now, where is your school school located? And go ahead and tell them all that you offer, both the school and your consultation.
Okay. Well, I'm actually in between locations right now, because I didn't know where I wanted to live when I grew up. So actually, I'm thinking about, right now I'm looking for a location in Conroe, Texas, which is about 30 miles north of Houston, in that area. And so I'm, you know, it's I moved to a small country town, and it's about an hour south from me, so it's kind of a medium-sized town. It hasn't been overrun by Houston quite yet, but it's a nice town. It's not too far from there. And so we're looking to open a physical location there, which we're very, very excited about, probably sometime around March of next year. And then we have it's a distance program, and it's a hybrid, I would call it, between classroom and distance learning, because we have it all designed for someone to take the material and work it at home. But then we do a lot of Skype sessions. We do Skype training sessions with them, so that on every important part, you know, they do the work, they do the exercises, they go through and do it all. They're doing the same hours, the same work, the same as the classroom. They're grooming the same dogs, doing the same steps as in the classroom, but at home. And then we check them before they do the live application on the real dog through Skype. And then we do, you know, regular training sessions. So we're in constant contact throughout the program to guide their progress. And then we license, as I said before, the Golden Paws School Program, which is the entire program from A to Z. It's got a big book. We come, you know, that we go for 4 days of training at their location. We set up all their files. We do almost all their state licensing, because we've kind of become experts with the state in the licensing process through doing, you know, the various states we've done already. And which, you know, I know that's probably, you know, the first roadblock that might be the trigger for the first call to us. And it is a big deal, but it's really about 4% of the program. It's a small part of the program. And it includes all their marketing material, their brochures, all the letters to government agencies, packets that they can send out to high school counselors, the ads, press releases. We help with their grand opening. We get them going. We get them established. And then, of course, there's the phone support, because by now we have experienced anything that they are going to ever experience, and we've already got an answer. So all they have to do is pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, this is going on, and we can answer that question for them. And we just kind of have this wide gamut, keeps us busy, keeps us going. And so the brochures and all the marketing stuff is set up where they can, you know, replace their pictures in there and, you know, import their contact information. But otherwise, they've got these, you know, real nice things already set up and already written for, you know, search engine optimization, SEO, you know, effective target words and mark. So they're all written to be effective. And we just welcome people that have experience and in the grooming profession, and they've been doing this for a really, you know, a long time. The good thing about the school, and I know this because I'm in that age bracket, somebody who's been doing this for a long time, you know, you just physically just can't and kind of don't want to keep up with the 10, 15 dogs a day thing. There comes a time when you want to fall back, but you can't. You know, if you lessen your grooming income, then, you know, you have to have something else to replace it. And if you start looking at it in a way that, you know, like at a certain point, you're going to have to give it up. And that's kind of sad. You know, you've got all these years invested in growing your business and everything and gaining that experience. And for a lot of people, a school makes perfect sense, because this way they can their experience is going to help other people. And we just give them the format and the processes of how to do that.
So, and let's also cover, so I believe they can go to the same website. So our career seekers that are listening, if they're interested, they can find the current list of Golden Paws schools, the academies, I believe they often call them, the Golden Paws academies out there. They can go to www.goldenpaws.com. But as well as if you're an existing salon owner, you have an interest at the same website, am I not correct? They can go to the same website and ask about your consultation services.
Yeah, or they can just give me a call at 888-808-7297. And anybody interested in going to school, anybody interested in opening a school, opening their own school, and or they can email me at info@goldenpaws.com.
Great.
And I'd be glad to talk to them.
And if they need to, if they don't remember any of this information, just remember, go to the home page of petgroomer.com, and you will find a link to Golden Paws always on our front home page, the main home page. Mitzi, we've only got like 60 seconds left on this show. The 45 minutes has gone fast. It's been good talking to you, and we'll be sure to have you back again, okay?
Always, Stephen. Thank you so much. I just really, really like these talk shows. I feel like I just, you know, talk to you, and I just love them. Anyways, thank you so much for being such a great host.
Okay, thank you very much, Mitzi.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye.